myself as host. Hi, I'm Karen. I'm digital events producer and social technologies ninja. And I've been helping Marisha Zipser of Art Culture Tourism through this little series that we've been delivering during lockdown. So I'll bring onto screen now Marisha. Hi, Marisha.
Hi. Hi, Master Producer Karen.
And I say it's been an interesting journey, hasn't it? Going from, you know, physical podcast, our one podcast that we managed to get done before lockdown, this whole world that's kind of seems pretty normal now. And how now we've pivoted to digital, the next challenge is pivoting back to physical. So tell me, Marisha, just before we get into who we've got today, just tell us a little bit about who your guests are today.
My guests are is writer and journalist Matt Turpin and actor Melvin Rawlinson.
So there'll be two great guests. And before we start, I found some statistics that can really focus the mind. And I know you've heard one of these statistics, Marisha, and a lot of us in the arts, culture, tourism and entertainment industry have heard this. And that is that for every pound spent on culture, arts, culture, tourism, the entertainment industry, it returns up to £6 back to the local economy. And as we're going to start going back into physical, deciding where we put our pennies, first of all, of how to revive our economies, I think arts, culture and tourism is going to be really important. And I've heard that statistic several times. And I often think, well, OK, but how does it stand in comparison? And I had a little bit of a look and I found a really interesting statistic from January of this year. And I will put all the links in the show notes. And that is that for every £20 invested in stocks and shares, on average, it only returns £1 to the investor. Think about that. £20 invested, £1 return. Arts, culture and tourism, £1 invested, up to £6 to the local economy. So there's a real consciousness shift of how we revive the economy going forward. And that's not to invest for your own means. It's about looking at the community and actually investing. So with that, I'm going to bring up onto screen our arts, culture, tourism team, which we have Inna Schutz. Welcome,
Hi, Inna. Everyone. Hi.
Hi.
And we have
hello.
Marcus Gilmore,
who
is part of the extended team. So let's have a look at, I think the first thing, I've been really interested in hearing from you, Inna, on what's been happening sort of with homeschooling and young people and how children have been coping. And you're in the position to answer that, being a mum and also, you know, I know your photography has been important to you during this phase, but you've also had to take on that role, which no parents have been prepared for. Whereabouts are you at the moment with?
Oh yeah, this lockdown basically changed everything. And I have to do things I never thought I wanted to do, but I have to. So basically I'm a teacher now. I never was into homeschooling. I thought it's a bit silly. Although it was trending back, especially when we lived in California, everyone was homeschooling. And I thought, no, that's, you know, the social factor of the schools is very important. So, but now here we are forced into a situation where it's up to me to give kids the best I can. And basically I'm learning along with them. Sometimes it's just, I have to Google things before I can explain them, you know, because everything changed. The school from when I went to school dramatically changed how they approach education, how everything is. So yeah, homeschooling is something I've never thought I'm going to be doing, as well as hair cutting, for example. That's another thing I can put on my resume now. But you know what, in a situation like that, you just do one step at a time. You just don't overload yourself with, I cannot do it. Just do whatever you can, the best you can. And that's what we're basically doing with homeschooling.
So what about actually being a human being? Because I know being involved with arts, culture and tourism has been really important for you, because it gives you your identity as Inna Schutz, not Inna mom.
Just mom,
And so have you found time to be yourself during this time?
To be honest, it's very, very hard. I mean, it depends, of course. I think if you have a more space, we don't have that much space, and being trapped with two kids, it's really hard to find this little me time, just because I'm always needed somehow. I don't know. Just nobody knows where things are. And basically, I'm trying to get away, but it's hard, because I stopped doing my blogging, just because I cannot sit down and focus, because I have all those other things I need to do, or somebody needs something constantly. So yeah, it is challenging for me, especially. Maybe somebody else, you know how they say it, and it's so true, that we're in the same storm, but we are not in the same boat. Everyone dealing with the same situation so differently. And you know, it just, for me personally, it was really, really hard to find me time and doing what I want to do. You know, when kids go to bed, yes, I do some, you know, classes on photography. I'm reading something that I want to do. But even then, by then I'm exhausted. I cannot focus anymore.
Mentally kind of spent,
it
really.
It is so hard.
It's, very difficult. Either if, like, when their day starts, or if you say get up early in the morning, you've only got a certain amount of time where you can utilize to, you know, whether if it's 2 hours or 3 hours, it's like you have to plan those things. And then amongst the day, with you're spending the time teaching your kids, and then you've got all these other type of things on your mind, it does make it very more challenging, definitely.
Well, and plus, yes, even during when the kids went to school, I had this morning when I had, still, I still had to finish certain things, but then I still had this space of what I can do for myself, and I would plan that. I would squeeze that for me. But now, besides, I have to cook 3 times a day, just because everyone is at home. So yeah, the life is so different.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you get used to it.
Yeah, your perspective, Marisha, because you were just starting to start to find your own artistic endeavors. So you've been doing your lino prints. So how has lockdown time been for you? Has it been a productive time? Is it, you know, how has lockdown presented for you?
Well, it's been fantastic, you know, for my writing and blogging, and for my own art, you know, my lino printing, because now my cards and prints are being sold in Nottinghamshire tourism shops and local shops. So so that's really nice. And also the... you know, we received great local press coverage as well for art, culture, tourism. And I've got involved with the Write Up Your Street project for my own street, Elswick Drive in Beeston, which has brought amazing letters.
Cool. Excellent. As I say, we'll look at our section when we come to it, in terms of sort of what art, culture and tourism has produced, and how Marcus has helped that, when we look at Act in Print, which when we come to. But I just want to pop on to the Act picks. So I know over this series we've had some really interesting insights from the English Heritage site. So tell me what you've been looking at most recently on the English Heritage site.
Well, we were still exploring a lot of podcasts. They also have a YouTube channel, which is great, educational and entertaining as well, which is, you know, great, especially for homeschooling, when I'm already at the end and it's like, I cannot do it anymore. Here is, let's English Heritage teach you something. So on the side of reopening, which everyone is trying really hard to bounce back the best they can, and trying to keep us safe as much as possible. So English Heritage, as well as other historic sites, are opening slowly. So as of right now, there are only 6 sites which are open at English Heritage. And now you have to pre-book things in advance and just show up at that time slot they assign you. So that's the different life. They are planning on opening more sites starting July 4th and hoping to open all the sites by August. But then again, you know, look what happened to Vivla Leicester. They're now in lockdown. So you have to be very careful in what you're doing, because people, I think, feel like, oh, everything is opening up, we're getting back to normal, but it's not, because it's still out there. And we have to, yes, it's opening up, but we have to take our part and be very careful, the you know, because wearing masks is not such a big deal, but it does prevent, you know, the spread. So just please do that. Yeah. It's a small sacrifice.
It is. I think it's special guest time. We've got two great guests. So Marisha, I will pop the ACT team back into the green room. And that will include myself, and I will bring up your first guest, which is our first guest is writer and journalist Matt Turpin. So I will pop myself into the green room.
Hi.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Lovely to welcome you, Matt, to our show. And just to start off, you're more a Beestonian than I am. And we're always bigging up our town of Beeston and the city of Nottingham and the county on local radio and TV. Tell me what 2 to 3 aspects about our town and city have given you your most driven inspiration and satisfaction.
Oh, blimey, 2 to 3 is about 500 less than my view. But I think in general, I grew up in Stapleford, just down the road, sort of thing, and Beeston was always this like slightly aspirational place that had more stuff going on than Stapleford. It was like, but not as crazy as Nottingham. So it's always had this undercurrent. There's been so much going on with culture in Beeston. It's got an inordinate amount of culture. It's got an inordinate amount of history as well for a town which really should be fairly anonymous, being just a suburb of a much greater city. But it's just packed full of interesting stories. And for a journalist, when you see something like that, it's a treasure trove. So I've been writing about it, thinking I'd probably run out of ideas and run out of subjects quite soon. And many, many years on, I'm still inundated. I'm still finding stuff. So I don't think there's, I find it difficult to imagine there's a place quite like this in terms of how many stories seems to come out and how much weirdness is in this town. There might be, but no one's really looked at it. So, the sheer weirdness of it all is what really, really attracts me.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. I mean, I've been here 8 years now, and I was just amazed at the creativity and the community. It's very, very special. Mm-hmm. And I know you started the Beestonian magazine and the local Facebook group as well, Beeston Updated, and terrific response, you know. It's just enlarging and getting bigger and bigger, isn't it, this cultural community. So I'm also going to go ask you another question. We know you well as helping to initiate the editorial management of UNESCO City of Literature, Nottingham City of Literature. And can you tell me how lockdown has affected you all there and about lifting lockdown?
Well, we've been a city of literature, UNESCO City of Literature, one of only 39, I think, around the world. We've been that for 5 years, like permanent designation, just to say that Nottingham is a city which is absolutely totally rich in wonderful writing and poets, and we're just a very strong city for that, with some massive problems. And we became that city 5 years ago, and we've done lots and lots of things towards that. When lockdown hit, obviously that has a massive effect. One of our major strands is looking at child literacy. One of the problems with child literacy is obviously how many times kids attend school, and one of the real problems with kids attending school is that the schools are closed at the moment. So I've been furloughed now, so they might, and I'm not allowed to actually see what they're doing, answer my emails and stuff. But what we were really concentrating on was getting as many digital resources out there to parents and to children to make sure that they are engaged. And this isn't just, you know, stuff like helping them their English GCSEs or anything like that, or whatever they're doing now. This was more about getting them interested in ways which doesn't seem like education. So giving them activities to do which are actually enjoyable, and finding stuff which is enjoyable which they can access. My belief is that if you get an early love of reading, that's one of the greatest gifts you can have in life. It's one of the greatest things you look for, is you can give to yourself. We have to install that. It's going to instill that, into children. It's increasingly difficult, obviously, with the lockdown and, you know, not having that access, because teachers do a wonderful job. But yeah, that seems to be one of the things. Another thing as well is, because we're a network of many cities across the world, I think it's became more and more apparent how urgently we need these networks, especially in something like a pandemic, which doesn't discriminate about borders. It doesn't see borders. It just sees, you know, everyone is an equal host. So really working together in a global fashion is extremely important, and having these networks and being able to share information, share stuff, which is all very central to UNESCO's general policy, is an extremely valuable thing. Hopefully, obviously, like any arts organisation, we're precariously funded right now, but hopefully our value will be made more apparent as we come out of lockdown.
I hope so. I hope so. Last question, I love your social media stories and adventures of your son Leaf discovering local nature and wildlife, and your photography and filming. Are there any books or scripts coming out from these at all, Matt?
Oh no, not myself. I'm too busy actually doing it. Rather, maybe in a few years. It's when I don't have to look after a 3-year-old all the time. But no, there's people. I've known lots of children's writers before. There's lots around here. There's a great Jonathan Emmett who lives in Beeston and stuff. Fantastic writer. There's Kim Slater, who writes young adults. There's lots of local writers, and I've worked with them extensively before. Rob McFarlane being one. You realise it's not as easy as it looks. I mean, anyone who puts a book out, full stop, is doing something quite wonderful and quite difficult. A children's book looks really easy. You write for children, it looks dead easy. But no, children are the most discriminate readers you can imagine, and if they don't like it, they won't like it. And to get that formula right is extremely hard. So I'm going to do a lot more parenting for even consider wading into that particular genre.
So over the next few months, or July and August, what will you most be doing?
I'm furloughed still, so I've got all the from the City of Lit, so I've got a few freelance projects set up, a few bits of helping people actually get books published and stuff. The magazine, The Beastonian, is due. It's been we put it into a digital form. We pivoted to digital when the lockdown happened. We're pivoting away from digital now, back to analog, and we should be getting the new issue out quite soon with the pubs reopening, cafes reopening, and everything. And generally, I don't know. I never make plans, because I quite like, one of the great things about working in creative arts is the fact that you can just be swept away at one moment onto a totally different direction.
Yeah,
and totally find yourself doing something you wouldn't imagine. So who knows? I'll probably do a lot of sunbathing.
Yeah, won't have time for that.
I think that takes us really nicely into, if you stay on screen, Matt, is that we. During lockdown, Marisha, right at the beginning, put out a message asking local creatives what it was that they were doing to get them through lockdown. And Marcus took on the challenge of creating a bit of an ebook to reflect that. And before we move on to our final guest, we're just going to have a bit of a look at that. I thought you might like to see that as well, Matt. So do you want to do a screen share for us?
Yeah, we'll do. I'll just bring this straight up, and then we'll... Just pop that through.
So let's have a look at where we're at. Let's have a look. We've all got used to Zooming and screen sharing and muting and all sorts of... it's going to be interesting to see what words go into the Oxford English Dictionary this season when they have that cycle, that which words... I bet Zoom bombing goes in there. That's going to, you know, we need to see what new words has the pandemic added, because they will be in the dictionary forever. It's going to have affected our vocabulary. There we go. So let me. There we go.
I've got it as a single page spread at the moment, because the double page one is because it's already published on Instagram at the moment.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
So we'll just cycle through. It'll be single page spread.
Cool. No. That's great.
Okay. This is a project me and Risha went through. You, Karen, had the idea and thought it would be a good idea to put this. But you know, a collection of all these artists who contributed in April, so it's been quite some time now, of what they've been doing during lockdown. So this was kind of the introduction. And
so let's step through it, because as I say, we've got 8 minutes left.
Okay.
So each of these artists. So that's really been, it's going to be an interesting record of those people, and maybe getting those people to comment back when that goes out. So just wanted to show that as the continuation. And I think it's probably time to bring our last guest on. So thank you for that, Marcus. Let's have Marcus, and thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you.
And Marisha, let me bring Melvin onto the screen for you, and I will leave you with the screen, and I will return towards the end.
Okay. Hello, Melvin.
Hello, great.
Yeah, nice to see you. I know you and Matt have known each other for some time, and especially on both making Beastonia the movie quite a few years back. Can you tell me how the concept arose and how it worked?
I think, from what I remember, because it's about 5 years ago now, I think that Matt and his co-writer, Christian Fox, they'd actually written the script, and they were looking for a cinematographer to actually bring it to life. And I think it was a friend of a friend, and I'd always done quite a lot of photography, and I just bought a new video camera, and it just seemed to all fit together. And then once we started looking at the script, I think the Matt and Christian were great at actually writing the ideas down, but it was how you can then interpret that visually. And the wonderful thing was they were open to the most weird suggestions that I could come up with.
Yeah, it was lovely. I loved the film. I thought it was great, and it was premiered at the first Beeston Film Festival show. So also, let's go on the second question about how lockdown has affected you, and actually what happened as a result with your acting.
Yes, well, as has happened with everyone, you know, your plans have changed. And I could see fairly early on that the chances of things happening, getting back to normal in a month, was highly unlikely. So I imagined that I would probably be doing something in September, something like that. So this gave me a great chance to catch up on lots of video projects, which were half complete. And it also allowed me to, you know, clear out the workshop, and I've managed to set up a new studio in there as well. And that came in really handy, actually, because there comes a point, Marisha, you won't know this, being a woman, but there comes a point in every man's life when you end up looking like Santa. You know, and I looked in the mirror one day and I thought, well, you know I'd like to be chief elf, but I'm actually, you know, a jolly old elf instead. So I started playing Santa in commercials, actually, and I've done a few of those. And last year, because I've done some presenting work, I was presenting as Santa, and it was the most magical of experiences. Yeah. Really, really was, because I was at Leicester Football Ground. Not only have you got children wanting to come up and have a selfie with Santa, you've got all the guys who are going in to watch the match. They also want a selfie with Santa, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because so it's about embracing the whole thing, the spirit of Christmas. Mm. And I'm with a couple of choirs, and the choirs raise money through their concerts for some local charities. But of course, because we're not singing, we're not having these concerts, we weren't actually making any money to hand over to the charities. And I'd had this idea of doing some messages from Santa, you know, video messages. Mm.
Mm.
And I was walking the dogs one morning, talking to myself around Toten, you know.
As you
did. Yes. I'm the old bloke with two dogs who talks to himself, you know. If I'm not singing or learning lines, I'm just talking to myself, you know. And I thought, why? Perhaps Santa could do, I mean, what does he do the rest of the year? Perhaps he could do some summer messages. And I mentioned this to one of the choirs, and they really embraced the idea. So I did about 30 of these summer messages, yeah, primarily, yeah, for children, sponsored by their grandparents. And we, you know, raised some money for the charities that we wouldn't have otherwise done, which was great. And people were so generous. And I was able to use this new studio that I created.
That's fantastic. Because,
yes.
Yeah.
And because it's all live, you know, it's a great opportunity to create something different.
So you're Santa through the seasons, really, throughout the, yeah.
Well, that wasn't my plan. My plan was to be Santa, you know, in December last year, and come January the 1st, I was going to go back to being just normal, if that was possible. And but because a couple of projects were delayed, then I was still looking quite Santa-like, and then those projects themselves got cancelled, and mm-hmm. then we had lockdown, so mm-hmm. there didn't seem to be any point in changing my appearance, really.
No, well, I think that your appearance is great, you know, carry on with it, you know,
yes, just
embrace, you know, what comes up now, I think it's a great character, you're a great actor.
I'm fine so long as it's not a windy day. If it's a windy day, it's just like everywhere, you know, it's like, I'm like the Silver Crim girl.
Well, that's great.
I think being our last podcast, I think we should have everybody back on screen, and we should all have a selfie with Santa.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And also with the nice thing about having a live studio audience is that we've got a few messages in here for you all. So I'll start with Pam. Pam says hello to you, Melvin. So before we close, Sarah is saying hello to us all. So that's lovely.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Nice. And we've got Jeannie in the audience, who was our guest last time.
Hi, Jeannie.
Of course, the comment that we know exactly who this comment is for.
I thought it was for me. That's a shame.
And then, of course, we were able to say hello to people as well, back and forth. So it's just so nice to have had you all joining us. So I think it'll be, thank you for watching and joining in the Facebook Live studio audience, because when we were in the cafe, it was so nice to possibility of having people coming in and having coffee with us, and the thought of just doing it cold into a studio. Everyone on the Arts Culture Tourism team really wanted to have some sort of presence. We keep losing and gaining Marisha, so we'll bring her back. So I'm going to open up my selfie screen selfie, And if everybody on screen can give a wave to the camera and smile at the camera, we'll have a that's absolutely wonderful. Do find Arts and Culture Tourism on Twitter. Do look for Marisha and Arts and Culture Tourism on Facebook. Melvin is on Facebook, Melvin Rawlinson. Do look for Matt Turpin, of course, Inner Shuts, and Marcus Gilmore. Check them out as well. And for this season of lockdown live stream, thank you very much. And everyone can wave.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you. Have a good summer. Bye. Bye.